Alrighty, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. And before I address the elephant in the room, we did miss a couple of weeks of episodes these last, few weeks. I will get to that. But first, I want to set the stage. I want to paint the picture for the audience of my day on Monday. So I wake up on Monday morning, right? It's Monday Night Football, of course. Obviously, the game's on my mind. San Francisco, they're going to be taking on the Arizona Cardinals in Mexico, motherland. But first, I have to go to work. I have to go get ready for my job. Run the shift, all that fun stuff, make the money, bring the bread. My brother and I, we work together, and throughout the whole day, we just look at each other. We keep eye contact. We keep the same mentality of just get in, get out. We're trying to get the job done and get out as early as we can so we can catch the game with our father, which we try to watch every San Francisco game with every week. The only issue at hand is that I'm closing. Now, typically, the responsibility of closing, for those that aren't familiar, and if you are, perfect, and I'm going to run through it again just to remind you. To make sure everyone does their right, their right responsibilities, clean what they need to clean, make sure everything's in order, and you're typically the last person out the door. And with that mentality, we're doing everything in our power to ensure that everyone's stations are clean, to make sure that everyone's responsibilities are taken care of, and they look at us and they think, what's going on? What's wrong? And I just say, hey, we're trying to leave a little early. And through the great gracious of his heart, one of our good friends and co-workers, Daniel, offers to take the responsibility of closing. And without hesitation, I said, hey, are you sure? He says, yes. I said, perfect. So Jared and I, we jump in the car. And before I could even turn the car on, he already brought a change of clothes, because every game, he has this ritual where he has to throw on the jersey, the shoes, the hat. His whole ensemble resembles that of the uniform that the San Francisco 49ers will be wearing during that specific game. So again, before I could even turn the car on, he's already begun changing. He's in the backseat of my Honda Civic, now changing his clothes, and I send a text message to my father saying, hey, we're on our way. And keep in mind, the game has already been going on for maybe a half hour. The first quarter had just ended, and the score was 7-3. San Francisco was up. Brandon Ayuk had just scored his first touchdown of the game. More on that later. I believe it was all in the cards. It was meant to be, because we get in the car, we start driving down the street, and we got hit with maybe all but one green light. Like, typically, the drive to our job is about 10 to 12 minutes. We got there in 5 minutes. We got from work to the house in 5 minutes. It was all in the cards. So I'm already in a great mood, because at work, I was on a groove. I was feeling it. But then we get home. 7-3 is the score. We're able to walk in the middle of the second quarter, and it begins. It's tough for me. I was always raised to maintain the sense of humility and to continue to represent myself and my family in a respectful manner. But when you have so much disdain for one franchise, it's always just so sweet to beat them, especially in the fashion that the San Francisco 49ers defeated the Arizona Cardinals, which will now dive into the inner workings of that game. We had defeated the Arizona Cardinals 38-10. This is our third straight game of holding up a shutout against our opponents. In the last three games, our opponents were not able to score a single point in that second half. I saw a stat somewhere on Twitter that we had outscored our opponents in the second half, these last three games, 56-0. This game that the San Francisco 49ers were able to produce and really come out as victorious, this was the type of game that I expect. I don't want to say every week, but it's the type of game that we should associate with this roster. When you have an embarrassment of riches in Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, you have George Kittle, now adding Christian McCaffrey, a more than capable quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, you have the best fullback in the game in Juszczyk, the best left tackle in the game in Trent Williams. There are so many individuals on this team that it should not have to come to a closely contested game. We should be blowing out teams. On top of that, you put up our defense with D'Amico Ryans in his second season, being able to produce shutout after shutout after shutout in the second half. 38-10 is exactly what the doctor ordered. This is exactly what I was hoping would happen. And it did. And you know what? It was blissful. It was beautiful. I was in a state of euphoria. I try to be as positive as a person, optimistic as I can, because I do believe that any moment of negativity is a moment wasted. But when I tell you how happy I was, I don't think I've ever felt it in this long. That sense of happiness, that sense of relief. The first thing I did is I ran onto the group chat with a group of friends of mine. And before I could even send the text, one of them immediately replies, "No, don't. Don't. I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking, Jose. Don't do it." And, I couldn't help it. I said, "Hey, I just want to say good game." That's the type of game the San Francisco 49ers should produce. And keep in mind, last week, the Phoenix Suns had defeated the Golden State Warriors for the second time this season. And hey, I won't knock them. The Suns are looking really good. And the Warriors, hey, my Warriors aren't looking too good. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the rotations or the players or the expectations of repeating. It's whatever. I just think it's a shame that Stephen Curry is having a wonderful start to his season being wasted with these losses, because if we had a winning record, I definitely think he'd be a front runner for the MVP award. But, of course, that's not the case. But, I digress. I told them, I said, "Hey, you can have that NBA game. That's no problem at all. The Suns can beat the Warriors. I get that. We just won the championship last year. But the Niners, they cannot lose to the Arizona Cardinals." And now with this victory, the San Francisco 49ers are now 4-0 in the NFC West division matchups, meaning we have two games left, one against Seattle in a few weeks, and our final game of the season will be against the Arizona Cardinals in our own home stadium. I personally think we can go 6-0 in this division, but you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up dropping one. It just happens. Division games are always the toughest games. But this game was not the case at all. Being that it was in Mexico, and technically it was designated as a home game for the Arizona Cardinals, but going into the game itself, the projection was 82% of that stadium to be filled with 49er fans. And you know what? You might have me confused, and you might even confuse those that are fair-weather NFL fans, but that seemed like a San Francisco home game to me. Just the emotion and the support that crowd had demonstrated towards the San Francisco 49ers, especially that of George Kittle, of course, Debo. And again, the atmosphere, everything just fell into the Niners' laps. We now have the New Orleans Saints coming up on our schedule. Five of the next seven games are all home games for the San Francisco 49ers, which is huge. We had our early struggles. We had a risk of being 3-5. Thankfully, we didn't drop to 3-5, but that would have been a similar start to a season that we had last year. And we know what happened. Ultimately, we went on a winning streak. We got to the NFC Championship, and yeah, we weren't able to close the deal and head to the Super Bowl. That's in the past. You got to move forward and focus on the now. And right now, the San Francisco 49ers are 6-4. They have now regained the number one spot in the NFC West, therefore gaining the number three seed in the NFC conference, playoff bracket, which is a great spot to be at. The only teams ahead of us are the Minnesota Vikings, who just suffered a defeat. Oh my God, I'm speechless. The Minnesota Vikings were defeated by the Dallas Cowboys by a score of 40-3, just demolished. That's the word I was looking for, demolished. And the Eagles, who in these last two games have not looked like those undefeated Eagles that we've seen in the first half of this season. Those are the only two teams that are ahead of the San Francisco 49ers. But I think if they are able to produce a game plan and execute their game plan the way they did against the Arizona Cardinals, this is the team that can, really take charge of the NFC. They don't necessarily have to be the number one seed. I would love to be the number one seed to get that bye week as well as a home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. But as long as we can maintain the third seed, I don't want to fall to the fourth seed. As long as we can maintain the third seed or even potentially jump up to the second seed, because I think that's now in play, I think we'll be in good shape. If we continue to run the ball, pass it efficiently, and defend the way we defend, the San Francisco 49ers are on pace for another long extended playoff run that we saw last year, that we saw in 2019. And as I spoke to my father earlier, I do think that when you put up these teams, the 2019 campaign, the 2021 campaign, and this year's 2022 team, I believe this roster is the best roster that we have had in all incarnations of the Kyle Shanahan regime. I think 2019 ultimately was a much more fun team to watch, but you can see that the defense really carried many of those games. It was the performance of the defense who ended, one or two in that season, I believe the Patriots were the only team considered to be better defensively. But you look at the team now, I think it's a lot more balanced. You know, when you have the running game by Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey, you have the passing attack from Jimmy G to guys like Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. The line held up beautifully against the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, you may have to argue about injuries. I know a lot of my friends that are Cardinal fans have brought that to my attention that, hey, we weren't healthy. We weren't, you know, 100%. That's fine, you know, but you play who you're up against. And that's who we had up against us. And you know what? In a way, that's fine because we won 38-10. So if they really want to consider themselves hurt, then that's how the game should have ended to begin with. That's fine. No Kyler Murray. They had DeAndre Hopkins playing on a bad hamstring, who was the only guy that we really struggled with. D-Hop is a hard guy to defend, and he made that quite evident throughout that game. Moving forward, though, I do think the Niners have to be considered one of the favorites in the NFC, certainly in the NFC West. I think they should win the division. Walking into this season, you can go back in the archives of our episodes. I do have the Niners entering the playoffs as a wild card, but that was before everything happened. That was before getting Christian McCaffrey. That was before losing Trey Lance to an injury. That was before seeing Jimmy Garoppolo continue to win games the way he knows how to win games. And might I say, Jimmy Garoppolo, in these last few games, has not thrown an interception. Now, hopefully I didn't just jinx that, but that's something to look forward to because I feel like the only team that can beat the San Francisco 49ers at this moment is the San Francisco 49ers. The way that we're able to call up these plays and utilize our personnel is unmatched in the league. The only other coach that I can see up there is like an Andy Reid, and the Chiefs have been the Chiefs for so long at this rate. But the San Francisco 49ers, just the way they're built, I'm very optimistic. And, you know, you'd have to talk to my brother about this as well because he's always the yin and yang. He tries to be a realist about it, but he kind of leans more pessimistic, whereas I try to be a realist, but I also lean a little bit more towards optimism. And the way the San Francisco 49ers are looking, just running on all cylinders, you look at the box score and what they were able to produce. Jimmy Garoppolo had 4 touchdown passes, having completions of 20 out of 29 passes. You also look at Elijah Mitchell, who had 60 yards rushing. McCaffrey only had 39 yards rushing, but overall had 100 yards because he has 67 from receiving. George Kittle, 84 yards passing, receiving, with 2 touchdowns to his name. Deebo had a rushing touchdown. Brandon Ayuk had 2 catches. Brandon Ayuk had 2 catches for 20 yards that resulted in the 2 touchdowns that he scored. Being that last year, there was rumors and speculation that he was in the doghouse with Kyle Shanahan. You would never have guessed it because this year has been his best year so far in his career, in his very young career, I should say. Obviously, Womack had the interception in the end zone that led to a touchback and therefore just ending the game. I'm very proud of this team and their performance against the Arizona Cardinals, which again, it's very important to perform well against your division and to exemplify that dominance that they had against them. And I'm hoping that they have a repeat of that once we face the Arizona Cardinals in January for, again, the final game of the season. Moving forward, we do have the New Orleans Saints coming up. They're going to be, you know, visiting our stadium of Levi's Stadium. And the Saints are no joke either. I think this is a quality team. They may not look as good on paper, but just having watched the games and seeing the competitive nature that Andy Dalton and company have demonstrated. I mean, you just saw they defeated the Los Angeles Rams this past weekend, which, I mean, the Rams, I saw some of the Rams, I believe, have the Chiefs coming up next on their schedule. I think they lose that game, and that's it. They lose to the Chiefs, and that's it for them. I mean, obviously, you can call it right now, but I think that'll be the final nail in the coffin for the Los Angeles Rams, and it couldn't happen to a better team, quite frankly, because I'm still not over that NFC Championship game. Nonetheless, again, I go on my rampage and I digress. But as we move forward, I do realize I have to address the elephant in the room here. As for our loyal listeners, I want to go ahead and thank you guys again for your constant support, whether it was Two Beans in a Pod or our new incarnation of the podcast, which I will now address. It is now the J Area Podcast, which is a bit of a nod to the Bay Area, which everyone knows that we are fans of, whether it's the San Francisco 49ers, the Giants, or the Golden State Warriors. And obviously a play on our name. We have all J names in our family. But also, as you can tell, for those that have been listening so far, my brother Jared has not been on the episode, obviously, because you've just heard my voice this whole time. And out of respect for his time and his commitments in his life, I thought, you know, moving forward, that I would be going ahead and running solo on the podcast and hosting. Now, that is not to say that he won't be on the podcast every now and then. Of course, we love to talk football, we love to talk sports, and we'll do that in this capacity when we have the opportunity. But moving forward, of course, it will just be me running solo with the podcast. I hope to still have you here listening in on the insights and my opinions on what's going on with the NFL and the NBA. And hopefully in the future, we're able to invite him back onto the podcast, as well as other members of our family or even friends, to discuss any topics within the sports world or even that of entertainment. Now, although the name change and the brand, you know, association has been altered, the links that are associated with the YouTube channel or the website or even my social media accounts, those will remain the same. Although wherever you had associated Two Beans in a Pod, it will now be the J Area Podcast, which I have, you know, I had already in mind in terms of a secondary, you know, production where I would do something on my own. But over time with evolution, and again, just seeing how our schedules lined up in terms of our work schedule, as well as, you know, just our lives in general, because believe it or not, he and I do have different interests and we do have different opinions on many other things. So just out of respect for that, we're definitely going to be kind of distinguishing the two for now. But as I mentioned, given the opportunity, of course, we'll go ahead and cross promote, I suppose is the right phrase. But yeah, no, moving forward, it's now going to be the J Area Podcast. And being that we covered the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals game, I just wanted to quickly recap that game, because I mean, again, just you know, all my friends and family that are Arizona Cardinal fans, they may get tired of me saying this, but to tell you the truth, I never really say it out in public like that, just out of respect. But being that this is my show and it's my time that I produce, I'll get everything off my chest. I'm not a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, even though I am from the state of Arizona. And I just find great pleasure in defeating the Arizona Cardinals every time that we face them. And, you know, the crushing defeats, yes, they're terrible and they're, you know, hell to go through. But the victories are what matters the most. And I just wanted to finish off with that statement. And don't worry, I'll go ahead and get off your backs about the Cardinals now. We'll move on. It's time to worry about next week. And next week we have the New Orleans Saints. But before we get to that, I wanted to quickly just run through the gambit of the NFL schedule coming up. For example, Thanksgiving, obviously this week, Thursday, there are three games for Thanksgiving. The Buffalo Bills will be visiting the Detroit Lions. I do have the Buffalo Bills winning this game. I do think that their recent struggles with Josh Allen and the offense are well documented at this rate, but I do think that they overall have a better roster, and I think they recognize that the AFC East is now becoming a little bit more congested at the top, whereas you have teams like Miami, you have New England, who's also a good team, who just squeaked out a victory against the New York Jets, by the way, and the Jets were actually in the third place of that division. Ultimately, they did lose to the New England Patriots on a last-second punt return for a touchdown. But again, I have the Bills winning this in spite of the Detroit Lions' recent win streak. The New York Giants will be visiting the Dallas Cowboys, of course, in the annual tradition of having a Cowboys game and on Thanksgiving. I'll have the Cowboys winning this. Again, I think they just have a better roster. I do enjoy Saquon Barkley's resurgence as one of the top running backs in the league. But again, I'm going to chalk it up to just personnel, and I think the Cowboys with Michael Parsons on defense, obviously CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Tony Pollard, and company, I'll pick the Dallas Cowboys to go ahead and win that game. The Minnesota Vikings welcome the New England Patriots into their home. Minnesota Vikings, they got to bounce back from that crushing defeat against Dallas. I don't anticipate them losing back-to-back, especially the way they lost against Dallas. I think they're going to come out hungry. And they're going to come out motivated. And I think they already have the division in hand. I don't see Detroit, Chicago, or Green Bay finding a win streak to, you know, recapture the number one seed in that division. The Patriots, they're just inconsistent, man. That offense, I don't trust it. It's not that I don't trust Mac Jones, but just whatever they've been dialing up there, they can't even decide on which quarterback they want. They had a game where it was Mac Jones. They had another game where it was their rookie Zappy. I might be pronouncing his name incorrectly. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. Justin Jefferson had a poor game this past game. You know, three receptions for, I think, less than 40 yards. Minnesota Vikings should win that game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be visiting the Cleveland Browns. I'll take the Tampa Bye Buccaneers. Coming off a bye week, Tom Brady and company has, you know, had a week to rest. Just keep an eye on those Browns, man. Deshaun Watson's coming back pretty soon. I believe it's next week. I'll go with the Buccaneers. The Tennessee Titans versus the Cincinnati Bengals is an interesting matchup. Both are above 500. They both have 6 and 7 wins. They're near the top of their division. The Titans are at the top of the division, but the Bengals are near the top of their division. Although, you know, they're number 2 to Baltimore. I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee. I think they're going to ride this wave of momentum. I think behind Derrick Henry and Malik Willis or Ryan Tannehill, you know, just depending on what they want to run. It's a home game. This is the one game I'm kind of iffy on. You know, I'm not really confident in the pick, but I'll go with Tennessee. Texans and the Dolphins, I don't think I have to talk too much about that. I'll go with Miami for sure. The 1-win Texans do not scare anybody at this rate. Miami, I believe the Bears should defeat the New York Jets. I think the performance that Zach Wilson had this past week is very indicative of what that team looks like on offense, and especially, you know, the questions behind Robert Saleh and his commitment to Zach Wilson in this moment. And now thinking about it, Justin Fields has been dealing with an injury, and I saw that he was listed as questionable. So this is another game where I think it should be interesting in terms of quarterback play. Who's going to start for the Bears? Will it be Justin Fields? We'll have to wait and see. And who will start with the Jets? Because if it's Joe Flacco over Zach Wilson, I might have to lean the Jets. So this one's a toss-up. It's inconclusive. I know I said Bears, but the Jets are sounding a lot better now that I think about Zach Wilson not starting. Falcons and Commanders. Again, another toss-up, but the Commanders have been looking really good, especially with that defense. And Taylor Heinicke has now brought his name back into the forefront. I know he played in the playoffs a couple years ago against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when the Buccaneers had won that championship. I'll go with the Commanders. Broncos, Panthers, I'll ride with the Broncos. Broncos country, let's ride. I'll go with them. Ravens should defeat the Jaguars. Chargers should defeat the Cardinals. Seahawks should defeat the Raiders. And we've already spoken about the Chiefs and Rams game. I do think that the Chiefs are going to defeat the Rams soundly. Just looking at the odds here, they're favored by 14.5 points. I think it's about right. I think they'll cover that. I think the Chiefs are definitely going to blow out the Rams, especially if the Rams can't come out and produce offensively. You know, defensively, they have guys like Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, but offensively, if they can't put up points, I mean, obviously, they're not going to make any points. The Niners I have over the Saints, and that's not because I'm biased, just because, again, I look at personnel and at home field advantage. Eagles and the Packers, Sunday Night Football, I will go ahead and take the Philadelphia Eagles. I would like the Packers to win just because the Eagles are just too far ahead. But again, Eagles personnel-wise, I'm going to pick the Eagles. I think they have the better roster. I think Nick Sirianni has done a wonderful job with the Eagles this year so far. So I will go ahead. They're favored by 7 points. Yeah, I think they'll cover. I think they win by 10. And of course, Monday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers visit Indianapolis, the Colts. Both are kind of struggling franchises, even though in the mid-2000s they were Super Bowl contenders nearly every season. I think Kenny Pickett and the Steelers have been coming along. I know defensively they had a great game last week with TJ Watt having an interception. The Colts are looking better now. With Jeff Saturday as that coach, it's like they've turned their offense on its head. They've resorted back to Matt Ryan. Jonathan Taylor looks like Jonathan Taylor again. I have him on my fantasy team. He was my first, you know, selection in the draft. So I had to bench him for so long because that team was just god-awful and they didn't know what they were doing offensively. But now with Jeff Saturday as coach, I don't know if it's because of his reputation or if it's coaching ability, but the team just feels different. They are favored by 2.5 points. I am picking the Colts to win this game. I definitely think they're going to cover 2.5 points. I think they win maybe by 7, by touchdown. That's my quick rundown of the NFL and the games running forward. Of course, we're hoping for a San Francisco win, but there are certain teams that we need to lose as well in terms of the NFC playoffs. I mean, obviously, I would like the Eagles to lose. I don't think they will. The Rams are our division rival. I want them to lose. They should. The Seahawks, I want them to lose. I don't think they will. I think they will beat the Las Vegas Raiders. I nearly called them the Oakland Raiders, but they are the Las Vegas Raiders. So that's the thing with the NFL is despite what team you go for, it's always interesting to watch the other teams in the league because those win losses matter when it comes to the seeding at the end. Because, for example, I'll throw out a scenario. For example, the Atlanta Falcons are currently 5-6. The Atlanta Falcons had defeated the 49ers last month. If the San Francisco 49ers somehow fall back into the wild card and we tie with the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons get that tiebreaker. So teams like the Bears and the Falcons, who we should not have lost to, those are teams that I look at and I'm like, okay, I need them to keep losing. The Bears are not as much as of a threat, but the Falcons are 5-6. They're right there, borderline 500, borderline playoff spot. If my memory serves me correct, I believe they're the 9th seed currently, just behind the Washington Commanders and the 7th seeded Seattle Seahawks. Try saying that 7 times. And now, as I'm speaking, you can hear the jets flying by, because we live by an airbase. Shout out to Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson, of course. Moving forward, though, I wanted to talk about the NBA briefly, because as a Golden State fan, I get a lot of crap from, you know, my friends who are Phoenix Suns fans, and it's all well, fine, and dandy. So to close out this episode of the Jay Area podcast, I just wanted to go ahead and address all other Bay Area fans, because this is what this podcast is all about. It's about the Bay Area. It's about the teams that we root for and that we support regardless of wins and losses. The current state of the Golden State Warriors has been in flux. They recently had faced the New Orleans Pelicans to a losing effort, but granted, we did rest practically all our stars. The Warriors are at this place where they are trying to figure out their identity. Granted, they're coming off of a championship. Why should they have to figure out their identity? But with the struggles that they have demonstrated early on, both offensively and defensively, this is the time where it should be happening. They should be struggling this early. Why? Because everyone's gunning for them. Every game that the Warriors are playing for them is an average night. It's another game on the already long schedule. But for their opponents that they are facing, it is their version of the Super Bowl. It is their version of the NBA Finals, because they're facing the champs. And as the Golden State Warriors currently stand at the 11th seed, about a game and a half behind the Minnesota Timberwolves of the final play-in spot, I don't think it's reasonable to go ahead and count them out. Behind Stephen Curry and his MVP-like numbers, behind Klay Thompson, who had a couple good games in a row these last few games. In fact, he scored 40 a couple games ago. You still have Draymond Green and his defensive presence. Jordan Poole, who is a streaky shooter at the moment, is still a shooter. And you know the saying, shooters keep on shooting. I believe in Steve Kerr because he's managed to, you know, coach all types of egos, whether it is Draymond Green, whether it is Boogie Cousins, and we already know how Kevin Durant went. They will fix this. They will right the ship. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be number one in the playoffs. I think that's done. You know, to be fair, you look at the standings, they are only like 3.5 games out of first place. So it is possible, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think we still make the playoffs, not even the play-in. I think we make the playoffs like a 5th seed, just because we've already created this hole that we need to dig out of. But we have to start competing better on the road. You look at our record at home, we're 7-1. Beautiful. Perfection. Great. You look at their away record, it's 1-9. It is the complete opposite. It is the complete opposite of their home record. We have to be able to perform on the road, especially if we make the playoffs as a 5th seed or as a 6th seed, because then you're only guaranteed one series with home court advantage. Division-wise, we split. We're 3-3. But in the conference, we struggle. We're 5-6. The West at the moment right now isn't as good as it's been. You know, I think it's fair to say that the East is looking a lot better. You look at the West, they have five solid teams at the top. Phoenix, Denver, Utah's looking really good, actually. And for a team that we thought we'd tank, they're looking really good. You also look at the Clippers, who I think, again, I go to personnel, and I think the Clippers have one of the better personnel in the league. And then I get to the New Orleans Pelicans, who was a tough sell, because a buddy of mine, of course, I think I've mentioned his name before, Daniel, was very high on the New Orleans Pelicans. But I think moving forward, this is definitely a team to watch. he's convinced me to watch out for them because of their young core and the coaching. I do believe that the New Orleans Pelicans have a shot as making a run of the playoffs, but they have to be more consistent. Again, in terms of their away record, they're currently 4-4, which just like the Warriors, is abysmal. You know, you have to be able to travel well and compete well. You can have a great home record, but not every game's going to be at home. So finally, as I close this episode, I just wanted to tell all the Warrior fans, do not panic. We're right where we need to be. We want to struggle at the beginning because you want to be able to get hot at the end. And if there's anything I've learned as a San Francisco 49er fan, these last two seasons, we've started slow, but we're sure as hell going to end on a hot streak. Thank you, everybody, again, for stopping by on the new podcast, the J Area Podcast. Much appreciated to everyone that's supported both incarnations and moving forward. Just continue to support, and I can't thank you enough. Words can never really express how grateful and how appreciative I am of each and every one of you. But as I close this episode, I just want to let everyone know that you can always find me on social media platforms at justjose_3. Be sure to follow the podcast on Spotify or subscribe to our YouTube channel, J Area Podcast, where you can also find each episode of the podcast. And once again, thank you for dropping by and hanging out with us. And if you enjoy these episodes and what I have to say, be sure to leave a like, comment your own thoughts and opinions, and subscribe to the YouTube channel that is now known as J Area Podcast. And as always, my name is Jose, and this has been the J Area Podcast.